Well, you should understand that aid workers who've seen the conditions in the camps have given accounts of extremely harsh conditions. They've spoken about severe overcrowding. They've spoken about the risk of disease. They've spoken about the suffering of children. Are you saying they're lying?
Well, if the camps were overcrowded 6 months ago when those camps were open, they're no longer overcrowded because only 138,000 remain out of an initial 294,000. The question of disease, I think, is not true because the World Health Organization has issued reports saying that there is no risk of disease on those camps. I think, again, we need to be cautious about what we read on the Tamil net and which is very readily repeated by headline-seeking journalists.
Well, it's not only headline-seeking journalists, as you put it. One of the aid workers who made those comments was the UNICEF spokesman, James Elder, another Australian, by the way. Why was he expelled from Sri Lanka after making those comments?
He did not make any comments about the camps. I can guarantee you that. His comments were made before the end of the fighting. That was before the camps were started. Tony, I think we need to get our facts right here.
Well, he said children were dying of malnutrition in the camps.
Not in the camps, in the area that the LTT controlled at the time of Mulative. The LTT had herded together over 250,000 people, and they were using these people as a human shield and as a bargaining chip. And there was a shortage of food at one point, and it is quite possible that children were suffering at that time, but not to the extent that children were dying of malnutrition. But he was referring not to the camps, but to the area that was controlled.
Can I interrupt you there? Why was James Elder expelled from your country for saying something which you yourself seem to be acknowledging might be true?
I do not think it is the role of a UN official to make statements that are one-sided, which might help the propaganda line of a terrorist organization, and he went beyond the limit to which a UN official could be expected to go.
In response, UNICEF says that James Elder was simply advocating on behalf of those who don't have a voice, children and the most vulnerable.
I do not think UNICEF has that role. The UNICEF's role is to assist children and women. I do not think it's UNICEF's role to advocate anything. They are an aid agency. They are an agency that provides relief. It is not for them to go out making statements that could embarrass a host government.
Well, even the UN Secretary General condemned the decision to expel James Elder, and I'm wondering if you now accept that this was a diplomatic mistake, a diplomatic disaster.
UNICEF has left this whole incident behind. It wants to work with Sri Lanka and look to the future, and we appreciate that very much. UNICEF has been immensely helpful to Sri Lanka over the years, and we hope that we will continue to maintain that relationship.
There have been calls to investigate what happened to Tamils during the war and immediately after the war. Now, you have a rather controversial view about that. You say that only losers get tried for war crimes.
If you look at recent history, that is true. In recent times, nobody who has lost a war, who had won a war, had gone before a war crimes tribunal. But that is not to say that as a responsible country, that Sri Lanka will not look at its own performance in the coming months, years. We will do what is right because we do have a fairly mature legal system, an independent judiciary, and if there are things to be looked at, we will look at them in the proper way in due course.
Aid groups and human rights groups have called for the Sri Lankan government to at least release a list of all of those who are being held in the camps so that their friends and relatives can find out where they are and if they're still alive. Will you at least do that?
The list is now being compiled. We haven't compiled the list completely. I believe that our intention is to have a finalized list, which then could be checked against any inquiries. Of course, on this, I do not have the latest information. About 2 weeks ago, I knew that we had completed compiling the names and details of over 167,000 persons. There may be quite a few more who need to go into this list.
As we said, there's talk of disappearances in these camps. So what happens to the people in the camps who fail the screening process?
The only ones who will fail the screening process are those who had been closely involved with LTTE, the former combatants, and those who had assisted the LTTE. These people will be rehabilitated and hopefully within a short period return to their communities. What we would not like to see is any combatant or trained cadre returning to the jungle and then digging up the weapons which have been buried almost everywhere in the north and then starting this all over again. Sri Lanka has been through hell for the last 27 years, largely as a result of the terrorist campaign carried out by the LTTE. And I do not think any government in Sri Lanka will take the risk of returning to that state again.
Is it true that your government believes that many of these Tamil asylum seekers are actually Tamil tigers in disguise?
We have identified at least two who were former combatants. It is quite possible that there are others amongst them, but since they're now away from our shores, we will not have the opportunity to check their authenticity or the details relating to them.
Well, if they do make it to Australian territory on Christmas Island, they are screened. Are your intelligence services providing information about the people who are turning up on Australian shores?
I know that there is a consultation that is going on between the security authorities of the two countries. Other than that, I think I should not go into detail about that.
We're seeing now the aftermath of a bloody and prolonged conflict. How long do you expect this exodus to last?
As long as the pull factor is brought to an end or satisfactorily controlled, I think this exodus will cease almost immediately. At the moment, we see a large number of people who are making use of the opportunity, exploiting the opportunity to go to countries like Australia and Canada. This will cease immediately. The pull factor that is there at the moment is brought to an end.
A final question before we leave you. What do you think should happen to the 78 Tamil asylum seekers who are stuck on board that Australian vessel, refusing to leave and in some kind of limbo at the moment? Do you regard them as Australia's responsibility or Indonesia's responsibility?
I don't know, frankly, Tony, because we could always come up with a legal answer to that, but there is a different answer. I really don't know. Personally, I think they should be returned to Sri Lanka. That is where they belong. And if that happens, it is quite likely that others will not make this journey again, because they will know that they will be returned to where they belong.
Polita Kahana, we'll have to leave you there. We thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us tonight from New York.